Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Hello, this is Women Who Inspire, and my guest today is Donna DiBianco. And I'm sorry this for being a little screwy, but this is my very first show doing Women Who Inspire. So let me give you a little background about Donna. Donna is involved in community radio. She's been involved in community radio for quite a while. She's got a background in finance and grant management and training. And I think she's an absolutely wonderful person and a wonderful person to start out this whole Women Who Inspire series. So, Donna, how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me on the air. How's everything by you?
Everything up here is terrific. Terrific.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I live in Albany, and I see the tree and the ice skaters, so it's not the kind of climate that you live in, but it's pretty up here.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the Albany area. All the architecture always gets me. But yes, as far as it goes, I worked a few years in community radio. I got my training in Santa Fe at KSFR, out at Santa Fe Community College, studied communications technology, and that was back in the early 90s. And then I went up to Olympia, Washington to be their operations manager for KAOS, Chaos Radio. I spent about 5 years there, 4 years, 5 years there. And then decided to go into radio consulting. And that was just about the time when we were passing the Communications Act for low-power FM radio service. Mm-hmm. And so I studied up on the low-power FM because I had been a compliance officer and everything for full-power stations. It was an easy crossover, and I decided to lend my time and energy and insights to help quite a few about a dozen radio stations get on the air.
So, you know, people, when they turn on the radio, they turn on, you know, big conglomerates and, you know, corporate media and stuff. How many low-power FM stations would you say there are throughout the country, roughly?
I believe there's about 1,400 local stations now. Yeah.
Wow. That, and, you know, each one is in a different community. And, you know, kind of from your perspective, what is the benefits of low power FM stations? What do they add to the community?
Well, but part of it is most of these LPFM stations are hyper-local, which means they're focused within the area that they serve. So, you tend, when you tune in, you hear your local voices, you hear your neighbors, you hear about what's happening 6 blocks from your home rather than somewhere in your area, you know. The focus is more about community communication and dialogue, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of the stations, I would assume, just like WCAA here in Albany, they're looking for content and they're looking for people who would have a voice in their community. So if somebody's listening to this and say, gee, I would like to be on the radio, I'd like to be on a low-power FM station, how could they go about finding out where the nearest low-power FM station is and how did they go about becoming involved?
Well, you know, most of the low-power FM stations are, you know, pretty well planted in the community that you live in, for the most part. And they're usually all volunteer, and they're always looking for help. The way you can reach out to it is you just type in LPFM in your town, and there should be a listing of stations that will come up.
And why do you think community radio is just as important as turning on ABC, NBC, and CBS?
Well, I actually think it's more important than turning on ABC, NBC, and CBS, and all the other multitudes, you know, CNN and all that. Again, it's because it's more in tune. The language that is being spoken and being used is more in tune. Each town has its own dialect, you know, and their own viewpoints of their perspective of the world around them. So you have a more intimate experience in listening. It may not always be as polished and zippy sounding, but it's more down home. It's much more comfortable. And so community radio is designed to be an experience, not just to be, you know, as a listener to sit back and be, you know, on your couch. Community radio actually offers more engagement, in my opinion.
Well, you know, what I like about it is the fact that, you know, I have a show on community radio, and I also do podcasts. So if you're watching the news and you're watching TV or regular radio, you only get like a little sound bite of what's really going on. Community radio gives somebody the opportunity to come on the show and talk for as long as they want to about an issue that they feel, you know, is of importance to them. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I do. I absolutely agree.
So you've been throughout the country, and you've seen many, met many people, you know, and witnessed a lot of FMLP stations. What has grabbed you the most? What do you think has had, what areas have had the most impact on their communities? What have you taken away from?
Well, we have everything from WWOZ during Hurricane Katrina. We have even at KSFR, part of that was moving 1,400 people off of a mountain that had a nuclear lab on it without injury and harm. Community radio has their finger on the pulse of what's happening within their communities and can be a beacon in saving lives and protecting property. So from a standpoint, I think, sure, it's always fun to listen to, you know, George, you know, your neighbor George, you know, spinning all his jazz records. That's the one part of it. But the community service and health and safety of the public is a big contribution that these LPFM stations provide to the communities. You know, I've seen, you know, LPFMs, you know, still broadcasting during hurricanes and staying on the air and getting vital information out. I've seen stations operating with, you know, disaster response teams and working with the public to share the information so people and property can remain unharmed. So that's what my drive in community radio. Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I love listening to, you know, the jazz and the blues shows and the world music shows. But the, you know, that health and safety thing is the biggest thing that I'm impressed with.
Now, as you go around the country and you coach different LPFM stations, do you find that there's a lot of women who are involved in the low power FM stations? And from what you've observed, what do they bring to the table?
Oh my gosh. There are so many incredibly talented women leaders in community radio that bring a level of matronly responsibility, something that is severely lacking in our society these days. And so there is this benevolence that tends to happen specifically under the female leadership. Now, don't get me wrong, that does not negate that there's a lot of, you know, men leaders in this also who get it and who are allies to bringing in a little bit more of the female power back
mm-hmm.
onto the plate. Yeah.
So community radio is kind of a, it's not too well known. So do you think that the women involved, they make a great contribution to the community?
Oh, absolutely. The station as a whole, it brings that major contribution. And there are women in leadership roles. There are women that are in producing roles that are just out there every day making it a better place and a better space in their community.
So somebody who wants to make an impact, would you say that they should find out where their local low-power FM station is? Find out how they can get
involved.
Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Or their local full power community station as well. You know, there are basic requirements that there has to be community channels, you know, every you know town within reason has access to those stations, yeah. I mean, it used to be back in the day, we used to say, well, you know, tune to the left side of the dial, you know, on the FM dial, and you'll find your community stations.
Uh-huh.
With the LPFM app, it's changed a little bit. Now, most of your LPFM stations are up on the 105, you know, and higher. So it does take a little fishing around, but you know you can just put community radio station, basic Google search, you know, local community radio station in my area, and you know there'll be a whole bunch of stations that'll pop up, and like I said, 9 times out of 10 they're all pretty much volunteer based, and they're always looking for time and talent for people to come in and participate in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some stations have full training programs that will get you installed on the air.
How did you find out about low power FM station? And what was the draw for you?
Well, that all started back in when I was studying communications technology and broadcasting, and part of my educational path was we had to work in all facets of media, mass media, and communications, And so we had internships where we worked at the local newspaper and the local magazine and local TV station, local radio station. And by the time we were done, we compiled our portfolios and wrote of our experiences. And part of our, closing statements that we had to make a little dissertation on with the education that we acquired, what area would we like to work in. So I chose, community radio much more than commercial radio because I saw the need for the development of more community radio stations. And community radio stations do not include PBS, the public radio. Public radio is a different entity in of itself, but my choice was to work with community radio, community TV, and community theater. And so that's where I focus most of my time and energy.
And you enjoy what you do. And you enjoy what you do. You enjoy what you do.
Absolutely.
And of course,
I was there for low power radio stations as the laws were being implemented and passed, which was back in the I think 97 is when it all started getting rolling, and it took a few passes, but. We've been on our second window of applications, and it's looking like the third window is going to be opening up here in 2023.
So, in 2023, anybody who is interested in creating a low power FM station could apply for it, right?
Any entity, part of the low power requirements, there are some requirements to become a low power FM station. The first requirement is that it does have to be a local nonprofit organization that's been established for at least 3 years. They might be changing that rule, but it is, again, it's targeted for community service and not a commercial venture. So they do put some limitations on who qualifies to apply, and you can find that out at the FCC.gov site.
Okay. So in the 20 years that you have been working with low-power FM stations, you've met a lot of people, right? And you've gained a lot of knowledge. What would you say was the biggest thing that you've taken away from your involvement? What was most important?
The spirit of collaboration. I think that's the biggest part. We had a station that came to us. It was a full-power community station. They were about approaching a deadline, did not have the money, did not have the theme, and didn't have the direction. And we had, within 6 months, we raised the money, and we got everybody on the right direction. And we put that station up on the air and did it with hours to spare before the construction permit would have expired. What those people did, what that community did to gather and raise that money was monumental. And when you see a community come together and work that hard for something, the success on their faces, you can't replace that. You can't replace that feeling.
Wow. So you wouldn't happen to have an estimate of, every station has a number of people. So Do you think this movement is growing? Do you think more and more people are becoming aware of low power FM stations, and are more people getting involved with them?
Yes, I believe there is an upward trend. At least enough so that they're going to open another window. So that's a good indicator that there is still some spectrum space left, because we all work on frequencies, and that there is a need, and that we are being heard at the federal level, that there is a need for more stations like this. So I see a positive upward trend.
So for women who want to find their voice or have a voice and want other people to hear it, you would say a good outlet for them is low power FM station.
Absolutely. I used to do radio in the schools. I had everybody from kindergarten to, you know, high schoolers, producing radio shows on the air. And the sooner we get, the sooner we get that experience for people out there, I think the more fulfilling, community life and living will be. So I reach out to your local community college, your high school, sometimes your high schools. I know some stations are based there. Check with your local nonprofit organizations, and you can see where there is a station. And if there isn't a station, that's when it might be time to start talking with people about organizing to get a community station in your area.
Okay. And there's also a Facebook group for women and community radio that they might want to check out, right?
Yeah, there's quite a few community radio groups on Facebook, and there's a lot of women in community radio on Facebook groups also. So the opportunities are limited by one's imagination.
Great. And you think community radio is a way to expand the imagination and do wonderful creative things, right?
Absolutely. I've had DJs who would literally weave music. And, oh, my gosh, the creativity that it takes to run, 8-10 pieces of equipment at a time. And he was as smooth as butter. It was amazing. Amazing stuff. So you have everything from that kind of creativity to, shows like this that discuss, positive upswings. You've got, great community public affairs hosts that produce, like you produce a pretty good public affairs show there in mm-hmm. Albany. And there's room for everyone. I remember my mentors teaching me that you find, every way to not say no. I'm glad I listened to my mentors, because I had people come to me that swore up and down they had no skills. And sure enough, we found spots for them, and they were happy doing what they were doing, and they already utilized the skills that they had. So if you like to write, if you like to talk, if you like to sing, there's all places that in community radio for that.
And thank you, Donna. You have been listening to Women Who Inspire with Donna DiBianco. So if you like this, podcast radio, please follow me on Twitter at WomenInspire21 and like face on Facebook Women Who Inspire Group. Thank you, Donna, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.